been a couple of weeks since we've had a full complement on Sky Blue Stories, but the four of us tonight will take you, will try and take you through everything that's happened in the last fortnight after a coaching change, an appointment, a huge first win, first five goals of the season for the men's team, an Asian Champions campaign for the women, some young Matildas news, some international call-ups, a national second division announced, an Auckland franchise announced, and almost time for a partridge in a pear tree. It's Sky Blue Stories with Sean, Nick, Michelle, and Jono tonight. Ladies and germs, bit going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
New coach. We're going to win the A-League.
Yeah, that changed.
Girls have been in Uzbekistan. They're back now. Ironically, went to Adelaide and beat Adelaide too. Not too dissimilar scoreline. Michelle worked a little bit of magic, a little bit of a beanie criticism, and then she came good. But,
don't say that publicly. I only talk positive about the girls.
It was constructive criticism. Constructive. Yeah.
I was thinking the other day, guys, Sean, actually, well, this is more relevant for you, Shawnee boy. It's nearly 4 years.
Since I started Corica out? No,
since
what?
Since you started. Since your Corica
out. Finally got my way.
Started. What is it? Even a broken clock's right twice a day. No, it's nearly 4 years since the first meeting of Sky Blue Stories.
Up at the Bella Vista Hotel. I'm trying to remember how we did that intro when we had to, like, when we were, like, sitting down, signing that contract that we always had to say there.
That's right. That's right. Good times. Good times. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Just taking us off topic for a second. But, yeah, there is a lot going on in and around Sydney FC at the moment. Obviously, it's a huge week. It's Derby week. We've already seen some shots fired from the Cove. We've had Uffy on the radio this afternoon, Sean, which you can fill us in on. But yeah, I guess from a wider Australian football perspective, there's certainly a lot of movement happening around the place. But I don't know where we should start. I think, is Ufuk Talo our new coach? Should we start there, guys? I don't know. Nick, it's what's going on?
Hello.
Yeah, we got a new manager. We talked in the last time as a group. I think it was just as Corica got sacked that we started speculating who we have as a manager. And I think Talay was always the favorite to get the job. So, yeah, I think, well, it was on paper already a good appointment. And the fact that he's got so much history with the club, it just made perfect sense that he'd come back to coach. And, yeah, so first couple of weeks in the job and we'll get to the performance we had under him, but a pretty good start for Ufuk Talo.
It wasn't the first time we've heard his name, have we? Like in the last two-ish seasons, year and a half, we'd go through a shitty run of form, which was more often than not, unfortunately, for the last two seasons, Ufi's name would get talked about.
Yeah, and we saw with what he did at Wellington, I think it was always something that we kept an eye on because when he left as Sydney, as Corica's assistant, we always see how he progressed and he did pretty well. So, yeah, I think it's a full circle thing, honestly.
Great appointment. I think it was the logical appointment. A fantastic start. I was lucky enough to be down in Adelaide for that game, Nick, that you just mentioned. And Michelle went to the women's game. So Sky Blue Stories representing it at both Adelaide away games, which was fantastic. I think it's a bit embarrassing for Talay a little bit because, we saw the Sydney performances or lack thereof for the first few weeks under Bimby. Zrilic masterclass from one training session and they score five goals. So I think he was a little bit, obviously very, very, very humble and understated in regards to the performance and what he'd contributed because he certainly sort of said that he changed a couple of very, very minor things. But yeah, I think the logical appointment and I'm surprised that it wasn't made earlier as I think we've sort of publicly, voiced on this pod. But we got there in the end, and I think it's I think the Talay era is going to be a very successful one.
Talay barn.
Oh. Yes, Talay barn. Did you say?
Yeah, I got it off someone else. I think it was on Twitter or the forums about the Talay barn. Taliban, I should say. Taliban.
As in like the autobahn or?
No, the as in what's going on in Afghanistan.
That kind of Taliban. Please. Talay.
So you're calling our coach a terrorist organization? I don't.
He's going to terrorize the fucking scum this weekend.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, so that's about what we're saying.
I feel like for every racist comment you make, you need to put like $5 towards like a charity or something.
What's racist?
Boomer comment. How about boomer comments?
Boomer comments? Yeah.
Yeah.
Every boomer comment, make a lot $5 to a charity.
Five rupee.
That's
$10
that.
In the last like 10 minutes.
Like maybe we should get the club to donate the money on our behalf, because look at the groceries they're doing today.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Seriously.
Robbie's going for a shop.
Just buying stuff for fun. Michelle, thoughts on Ufi? Welcome back. Happy to have him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. Obviously, everything that went down with Steve probably wasn't like ideal. And I think we all knew that it was coming to a head, and it is what it is. I think, I know for me personally, like his reputation is not shattered. It's not changed. Like who he is for Sydney FC isn't diminished because of the situation. So, that's how it is for me. But I think, yeah, it's great to have, you know, a new sort of start this early on in the season. I think if this happened any later, maybe things wouldn't be so positive looking forward. And obviously it is so early, so it's hard to say if it is going to be a positive move going forward. But obviously a 5-1 win over Adelaide away is a really good start to his Sydney FC coaching career. So, yeah, I mean,
let's see what this week brings.
This is the real test, honestly. Like it'll be hard for him to come in, you know, in an almost sold out stadium to play against, you know, the biggest rivals that we have, you know, this season. So, it'll be a big test.
Yeah, at home, haven't won a home derby yet at the New Orleans. It'll be a very big occasion. Very big occasion. Let's skip over to Women's Asian Champions League. I feel like it's been over for a long time. Now that we've had the A-League Women's back in action, Michelle, but dodgy streams aside, no commentary and vuvuzelas and some other rather annoying things about the competition. How did you see the football?
Not a lot, to be honest, because on trains in Spain,
on the plane.
Turns out there's not a lot of reception in the middle of Spain. But that's fine. No, I think the first game against Iran, obviously they would have, and Ante mentioned it as well, that they had watched the Matildas game against Iran beforehand, so they kind of were able to sort of pick up on the way that they play. A lot of the players play for the national team. I believe the coach is also the coach for the national team. There was a lot of similarities that they were able to pick up on. And I think they were able to sort of handle, I think everyone who watched the Matildas game would have seen the frustrating play acting, perhaps.
Antics.
Yeah.
The stalling of time and whatnot.
Yeah. I don't think they did that as much in this game against Sydney FC. So I think that was a lot better. I think the first game was kind of a bit hard because obviously they would have just traveled. They would have still been tired and kind of getting used to the sort of, like, climate and everything. I think the second game, they definitely played a lot better. I think it was very much, Ante mentioned it in his press conference today, that it was a chance for the team to kind of learn how to work together and play together. And I think because it was so early in the season, it kind of worked out really well for them, that it didn't mean that they had to lose points in the A-League season, and they could kind of focus on this tournament and learn how to play together in this tournament that doesn't really mean anything. So I think that was actually really good for us. I think knowing how South Korea is and how the teams are and the women's teams are there, I think it was always going to be a loss for us in that game against, what was it, Red Wings or something?
Hyundai Steel.
That's the one. I believe they were always going to win the top of the group and beat us. It's a shame that it was quite a decent
loss.
You know, win a 3-0. So
there was a couple of there was a couple of key decisions in that one. I think we were only 1-0 down at the time, and it was just before halftime. And I think Princess Sabini got absolutely taken out in a similar way to, funnily enough, in a similar way, the penalty that she earned on the weekend against Adelaide. And, you know, that's a penalty at 1-0 just before the half. And you're sort of thinking, maybe, you know, maybe we can get back into this. But unfortunately, it was completely ignored. And like you said, Korean side doing Korean side things and sort of went on with it and, you know, made it look probably the score. I think it flattered them a little bit. I think Sydney put up a pretty good fight, you know, considering the roster changes and everything else that we've had to deal with. No Courtney Vine, no Natalie Tobin, you know, brand new centre back pairing. Like you said, good tournament to get a lot of football under into a lot of legs of the girls and some combinations going, hopefully.
How'd the tournament end up? I kind of zoned out after the girls went home.
So that's it for now. That's it for now. So the
finals played another time.
Next year, yeah. So it'll be Urawa, who absolutely breezed their group. I think they won most games, 7-8 or 9-0. So they'll play Hyundai Steel next year. I touched on it comedically at the start, but I think the only disappointing thing from a football perspective is just it was quite an amateur setup and operation. And Nick, I can see you nodding along as well.
Still better than Paramount, like.
Well, I don't know. I
think that might be giving it too harsh to Paramount, because you could barely watch it. It was always such poor quality. Like, you couldn't even if you tried, just become so frustrating to tune in. Like, that's not the type of. I understand the. I couldn't give you an excuse for it. It's just poor. You should be watching a professional football game in that matter.
Yeah, they just didn't put any money into the production of it. And like, I consider myself a fairly, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but a fairly strong Sydney FC women's football fan. I couldn't even recognize the players half the time, who had the ball. I just like, go 18. Fiona. No, it's Indiana Dos Santos. Okay, cool. No worries. It was not great. So that was a downer. But so Michelle, maybe it wasn't the Wi-Fi reception on trains in Spain on the plane.
I mean, it was a bit of both, I think, to be honest. But yeah, it was really really disappointing. It felt like I was watching like an under 17s, you know, national
pre-season,
team, sort of thing, like where they just are like, whatever, just a bunch of kids running around kicking a ball, like just chuck it on, someone will watch it. But I will say this, at least they started the stream on time, unlike Keep Up, who absolutely refused at one point to even stream a game. So.
Yeah. But it's okay, because the Keep Up like chairman is now head of the APL.
Lovely. Anyway. Doesn't matter now, because I'm not overseas, so it doesn't affect me anymore.
Anyway, speaking of international football, Sean.
Robbie Mack.
The Slovak.
Yeah, they've qualified for Europe, the Slovaks. 4-2 recent win over Iceland. Remember, Iceland, they used to be good at European football once upon a time, or be for a brief moment. But
for like a year.
Yeah, but no, it's pretty cool that we've got a European qualifier of a player in Robbie Mack. So well done for Robbie. He's getting starts for them.
Is it that big of an achievement, though? I mean, Italy qualified, so...
Even Italy. Just feel like the bar for the Euros are getting lower and lower. They'll let anybody in. Before you know, it'll just be one big, you know, Euro, like participation. No qualifiers.
Love you, Nick. Robbie Mack, the Slovak. Very, very good. The young Matildas seem to be getting together quite a lot.
Yeah, the young Matildas team has quite a large tinge of sky blue in amongst them, with Dos Santos's times two and Zara Kruger, Talia and Shea all representing them, which will be for a two-game, you know, friendly, you know, exhibition games, etc., against China in the next week or so. So unfortunately, you know, we'll be without them for a little while, won't we? So that's going to test our depth again. With the likes of maybe Courtney.
Is that right? They're actually missing some A-League women's games.
Yeah, wouldn't they?
Well, when is it?
I don't know. I don't do that good of research.
Usually involved in sport. You usually got your hot links. You usually got your, you know.
I got an email about it.
I assume there was an international break for the girls.
Yeah, that's what I was in the back
there's
of my
one
mind.
There's one in December. And that is when the Matildas are playing Canada.
One moment, please. Let's talk while Michelle reaches in the back of her brain.
Well, let's get to this national second division, which I know it's not strictly.
It is during the international break.
Excellent news. Thankfully. Excellent news.
And when is that international break? Before the end of the year?
Yeah.
It is the first week of December.
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
Weekend after this. All right. Beautiful. National Second Division.
Yeah.
Incredible news. 8 teams out of 10, maybe 12, already announced. At the moment, they're all Victorian and New South Wales teams. We've got Sydney Olympic, Apia, United, Nick's favourite, Marconi. And
Nick's favorite.
Wollongong, yeah, as well. So Marconi need to fix their badge if they want to be in this national second division team.
I saw that.
It's a bumper sticker.
It's like
ahead for the merchandise.
That's it. It's like when you used to be in with private schools that have their own bumper stickers that you put on the cars. That's exactly what it is.
Never did that though, John.
I don't think we did.
My school never had one, but now they've got buses, so.
Fancy.
What school did you go to?
Nick, you'll be heading down to the palace there, Marconi.
I mean, it's a 20-minute walk. I may as well. But
how good.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's been a long time coming, especially for Australian football. It's always been a will they, won't they type situation, but I think I'm glad it's finally here. We could talk about the types of clubs, you know, obviously all being based in New South Wales and Victoria. Hopefully they can get more clubs outside those states.
I think they need it.
I think they really need it for the engagement. But
it'd be a genuine second division, yeah. You need to see a Perth team or a WA team. You need to see like an Adelaide City or something like that.
Queensland team, yeah.
Yeah.
But in terms of Sydney, sorry, Michelle, go on.
I think the main thing is about whether or not these teams can, like, afford it. Like, there's clearly a reason why these teams have been chosen from New South Wales and Victoria, is because they probably just have a lot of investment and a lot of, general fan support. So it's a lot easier for them to kind of fund their way into it. I think, obviously, we see the A-League teams struggle in some of the other cities. So maybe they're thinking, like, financially, is it worth putting like Adelaide City in, even though I think Adelaide City would probably do better than Adelaide United in terms of like fan support. But because Adelaide is such a small city, like, yeah, that you have that problem where a lot of the Adelaide United supporters might also still support Adelaide City. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how everything plays out.
It's funny you mention that because I was thinking, I think we've discussed this privately, about the fact that all these clubs, especially in New South Wales, a lot of the fans, like I can speak for at least my Italian side, a lot of my family who support both Sydney and the Wanderers, they were supporting Marconi Stallions back in the NSL days. And I'm sure any other clubs that had the fan base before the A-League, they might have the chance to jump back to the old club. So it'd be interesting to see where, not in terms of like where loyalty lies, but just see where, especially for Sydney, where the fans particularly go. And how do they juggle between the club that's been around for about 19 years and the club that hasn't had at least to this stature in a long time?
It's an interesting situation, right? Because you know, it's been 20 years since the NSL folded, basically. I think you're right. I think there's probably going to be some cannibalization, but I mean, it'll over time find its place. Do you know what I mean? And the aim, I think, is to align the seasons. But you know, I've said many a times, there's nothing better than going to watch you know, an NPL football on a Sunday afternoon at one of these community stadiums, you know, and that's one of the things that's fantastic about all of these clubs. I'm fairly sure all of them, I've made a sweeping statement, but they've all got their own grounds that they can play at and
from Wynn Stadium to Belmore Sports Ground to the Palace there, you know. So
Belmore's shared with the Bulldogs as well, so it's not like it's their own ground, but I mean,
they've got the facilities and it's appropriately sized stadia, you know. So, but there's nothing better than a Sunday afternoon going off to watch one of those games. I know a lot of people won't agree with this, but personally, I do think that it would be fantastic to see some of the better resourced A-League 2 youth teams in the competition, such as your Sydney FCs, your Melbourne Victories, etc. I think having an under 21 sort of team in there, a bit like they do in Germany, where they've got, you know, Bayern's youth team in the third division, that sort of thing. I just think for the teams that have the resources, it should have been open to them.
How would that work with promotion and relegation, though? Let's hypothetically, you know.
Oh, well, they just can't get promoted.
Okay.
They can get like relegated, but they just can't get promoted to the top tier. So they can get relegated and promoted to in the lower tiers. That's it. But what it would do is it would provide year-round football for the A-League sides, right? But I guess there's still chat that they, you know, they could look at loaning players to the second div, which might be a higher standard than the NPL. There's a lot of still ifs and whats and you know what's to come. So it'll be really interesting to see, but purely from a Sydney FC perspective, I think it'd be great if you know, we had a reserves team that bolstered the national second division and our NPL side played at that slightly higher level, you know, playing against different teams from different competitions that they haven't played before, different tactics, etc. I just think that would be fantastic.
More games for them, and then more games for the other clubs, and more games, better development.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's something that's going to happen anytime soon. But anyway, it's a good development for Australian football.
Shall we go to Adelaide, fellas, and Michelle? I didn't realise you were there, Michelle. Flesh.
I think so. Well, let's quickly touch on, I know it's 2 weeks ago now, but let's quickly touch on the boys before we talk about the girls. Because we haven't done that. Obviously, had a great chat to Ian Fife last week, which filled our podcast void. It was such a great, such good fun to talk to him. He was absolutely buzzing and glowing about his time at Sydney FC. And if you haven't listened to that, go back and have a listen. It's only about a half hour chat. But we talked about the early years of Sydney and Ian's career there and I guess what the club, you know, meant to him and still means to him in a lot of ways. So yeah, real nice chat with Fifey about his time there and in Adelaide, obviously. So Sydney FC 5, Adelaide United 1, great away support. It was good to be amongst it there with a couple of mates. And I don't know if you can just call this new manager bounce. Like this was something special. I don't know where it came from. And I said something quite harsh to you guys in the chat, I think, about, you know, wow, they were really tired of Steve Corica.
They must have really wanted him out.
But that's it's hard to explain where that football comes from one week to the next, if that's not the case. Like, you know, and of course the players are very supportive of Steve, and you saw their reactions after the Melbourne City loss, that some of them were quite distraught, which is very hard to see, but it was clearly time for a new voice. And some of the performances the boys put on were absolutely special, none less than Jaden Kucharski, Nick.
Yeah, about time. What, like, just the fact that he started the game was already a huge statement, as it was with for Uffy's first game to be given the first start, like the amount of confidence that would have given Jaden for that game, and for the performance he put on, it was unreal, like absolutely unreal. Like him combining with the other forwards, like Lolly had a fantastic game as well. Fabio finally got on the good score sheet, but Kucharski was really the one to look at, especially just making that statement against. And we talked about it, Sean and Jules and I, how good Adelaide had started the season. And how much, I think even with Uffy's first game, I think there was a bit of, first game about Corica, there was a bit of a worry of how we'd approach this game.
Mm.
And I can't say what Talley might have said to them, but I want to say that he wanted them to make a statement, not just for themselves, but for the club and for the team. Like we talked about how good they've been in the Australia Cup and how disappointing the start of the season was. So I think this performance was needed, and it was a statement that was much needed for the rest of the competition, that Sydney are definitely
not going away.
We're not going away. Yeah. Absolutely going to be challenging. Yep, 100%.
And Sean, do you see some of the comments that players made? It might have been Jaden Kucharski actually, or Buster, but it was very much if he's not taking shit really. Like he's sort of, you know, he's ramped things up a bit, and he's got standards. And if you don't meet those standards, you won't play.
And no doubt Steve had them and does have them, yeah. But he didn't necessarily. So I don't think he kind of got lax on enforcing them. And it was kind of reminds me of listening to, I think it was Bratzy on SEN with whoever it might have been with Simo. But he said, you know, the training sessions had lacked intensity. Mm. And, you know, anyone who's played football or any game for that matter, you know, you play how you train. So if your training's a bit off and it's not competitive, you're not hustling and pushing everyone and playing, you know, training how you want to, you know, behave on the weekend, or come the Saturday game or whatever it might be, you know, you're going to drop off. And that's probably the biggest thing we saw over those three games, is that intensity, that hunger, wanting to get to the second ball, you know, to press, to make those tackles. And it was just very, very mediocre. And all our five goals on that wonderful Saturday evening. And I was so happy. I think you and our two mates would have enjoyed the trip anyway. But I was.
I had food poisoning, but yes, I did. Yeah.
So. Oh, did you? Oh, what'd you eat? What was it from?
I won't mention the establishment, but I had a prawn linguine on the Thursday night, and it did not agree with me at all.
Okay.
So I had to get on a plane on Friday. Cool.
Must have been that same chef down at Wollongong I had that time. But like all our goals were five really great goals. Like we would take the goals however they came, but they're really five quality combination play, bit of individual brilliance. And like I just sat there on the couch just going, like, is this the same team? Like, is this real life?
It's most of the same players. I think Michelle might have been on a plane at the time. So she's staying quiet, which is good. Yeah, good. We'll come to you, Michelle, on the girls shortly. And the other thing at the end of the game, you know, you get the traditional players coming over and to cheer the away support. The other thing to note was that Fabio was absolutely knackered. He was cramping up so bad. He literally like hobbled over to the away supporters to thank them, but you could tell he was in pain. He already had the slides on, like he had come over, but he worked very hard. And I think some of his combination play was excellent, and the space that he created for JK and Joe Lolly to run amok, really. Just great.
It was kind of a blessing in disguise. You know, I got a lot of love for Maxi, and as does a lot of the fans, but having him injured with his hammy or whatever it is at the moment was the blessing that we needed for JK to start. I don't know if Jaden would necessarily have started if it weren't for Maxi's injury.
Don't think
possibly, because Maxi's form the first few rounds had been off, but I dare say if Max was fit, he would have played, so you would have seen JK on the bench. So you just see that kind of somewhat of a sliding doors moment when, you know, like when Bratzy did his ACL, Yazzie stepped in and went great guns, and look where he is now. So here's Jaden's opportunity.
Yep. Lolly had the ball on an absolute string. His assist and, well, his two assists, one for Jaden and the one that he put on Fabio's head. Absolute top class. You can see, I guess, why he did come over with such a reputation. And if he does that every game, he's unplayable. So, you know, the challenge is obviously doing it every game. But the only other one mention I wanted to quickly say was Zach DeJesus, who debuted on the right for Ryan Grant. I thought he was very, very good. Maybe eased some fans, I guess, fears about, you know, no Keely Adamson.
Keely
maybe not quite yet, but he put in a very, very good performance. So Keely, actually, funnily enough, he's over in Tanzania, which is obviously where I think his dad's from. I think
Congo.
Dr. Congo. But it would be interesting.
That's another $5, Sean.
That was an in-joke between Jules and...
We need a bell. Be interesting to see if he actually went to the Tanzanian setup, because we've seen quite a few NPL players doing great things in the African... I think it's the African Cup of Nations qualifiers. Might be the World Cup qualifiers, I'm not sure. But there's a lot of NPL Victoria players representing, you know, their nations of birth or heritage. So, yeah, great stuff. So that's all I wanted to say about 5-1. Anyone else? Anything? No?
We're back.
Speaking of being back, the girls were back in A-League Women's action last weekend to an Adelaide United side that it's probably fair to say have struggled a little this year already. So not a softball, but probably a good fixture, Michelle, for the girls to get back into the swing of Australian football.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's really frustrating that Anna Lee Grove decided to show up for this game. We probably could have won 5-1 as well.
Always happens.
Yeah, but I mean, I think overall, I think the first half was really good. I think we played really well in the first half. Then the second half, they came out and you could tell that they had just come back from Uzbekistan and they just looked very tired. And Adelaide were getting close to I guess scoring another goal, but thankfully once Princess was able to draw the penalty and get that third goal, I was a little bit more calm and settled at that point. But yeah, I think overall it was a decent game. If they play like that, it might be a bit worrying against City. But I think, Shea Connors probably had like three really good chances, probably should have scored at least one of those goals.
She hasn't quite found a scoring boots, has she?
Not yet. Hopefully she decides to at home on Sunday. that'd be nice. But yeah, I think for me as well, it's kind of you know, like a bit of poetic justice for Fiona Wirtz, I guess, to score two goals, almost get a hat trick against her former side.
Yeah.
So
Wirtz is obviously on fire.
We don't know all the ins and outs of that situation, but she was celebrating.
There seems to be something in it, doesn't there? Even in some of her preseason chats, and yeah, there seems to be a slight angle there that she's leaning on with her departure.
Well, she was happy to celebrate the goals, so I think, you know,
her second goal, had that not get nominated for, you know, goal of the round.
Lovely. Was that the one Abby Lemon put in?
Yeah, the fucking header.
Yeah. The header, yeah.
That was good.
It was right in front of me, and
good.
Was the only person celebrating that one.
Just for you.
Oh, how good. Two great goals. And I mean, even the first one, the run from Tori Chin.
I taught her that.
reminded me, Sean, sure of the running up, you know, from goalkeeper that you were telling us about. But she carved up, absolutely carved up.
She had a great game, really good game.
And she was very good in Uzbekistan as well, Tori. So that's fantastic to see. It was actually fantastic to see Abby Lemon start and put on a very classy assist. Do we know what's happening with Kirsty Fenton?
Yeah. She's injured.
Yeah, do we know how badly? Because that's...
I'm not sure.
She played the last game against the Koreans, but yeah.
Well, it looks like we have quite
again
a
this
bit
weekend.
Of, quite a few bad injuries.
Bad linguine, Jono.
Bad linguine, maybe.
Linguine, maybe.
Too many treats in Tashkent, by the looks of it. but yeah, so Kirsty and Courtney still out.
And now Lucy Johnson.
And Lucy Johnson, yeah, which...
So... It looks like it's ankle or foot injury. When I spoke to Taylor Ray after the game, I was like, how's Lucy going? And all she said was, yeah, it's bad. It looks really bad. So that's not great.
She was wearing a boot after the game.
She didn't wear it at the ground. So one of the staff members had the boot in their hand and she was just walking with no boot on, like no football boots on or anything, with crutches back to the change room.
Okay.
Very slowly. But yeah, obviously then her Instagram story, she was wearing a boot. So hopefully it's just precaution and maybe more of like shock and a bit of a sprain.
Very, very badly rolled ankle or
yeah, so hopefully it's nothing too serious.
We need Dr. Jules to give us a diagnosis. He's had every injury there is to have.
He's made of glass, that guy.
He is made of
sausage skin.
So hopefully that's not too serious for Lucy and hopefully not for Kirsty either. But like I said, good to see Abby Lemon. I think will take heaps of confidence from that, that assist and that performance. You know, that's not a natural position for her. She usually plays a bit higher up. So,
Chess Seaman as well, Jono.
Great to see Chess Seaman. I mean, I
found back the clock.
Unbelievable, really. And I tweeted about it during the week, but you know, 15 years since representing Sydney FC in the A-League women or the W-League as we know and love it, played in the first ever Sydney FC game, which I only realised this week. Isn't that just nuts?
Didn't look out of place. Like,
no.
I think she just seamlessly fit in.
Yep. Like, just an experienced head, right? And in a young league, which the A-League women's is and will to continue to be, you know, maybe there's something in clubs looking at these. When I say senior, we're talking older and more experienced. Sorry, Jess. But you know, just solid players that aren't gonna, you know, do anything stupid, basically. And you know, she was great in the Asian Champions League. I think she started every game in the end. At centre back, or maybe not the first one. Margot Chavez got some minutes as well, but I just love it. We understand she signed a short-term contract now. Whether that becomes permanent or not, I'm unsure. The player that we mentioned, Jordan Thompson, is on the way. I understand. She's getting on a plane in the next couple of days. So I think we'll see an announcement on that early next week. This weekend, though, Sydney FC girls take on Melbourne City. It's a bit of a war of attrition, I think, guys, sadly. And I say sadly because I think one of Australian women's football's brightest stars, Holly McNamara, did her ACL last week with the last kick of the game, and it was the winner for Melbourne City, which is ironic. But she's been absolutely on fire the last few weeks. But yeah, I'm sad to hear from a Australian football point of view that Holly's done her ACL. But I think Rihanna Policina didn't play either that game, Michelle. So City are losing a few players as well as us. You know, we talk about Courtney Vine, Nat Tobin, Kirstie Fenton, but City having their own injury worries at the moment.
Yeah, it seems to be a pandemic going around of women's players getting injured so early on in the season, which is nothing new, but no one seems to do anything about it. But yeah, it's obviously like no one wants to see players getting injured, especially having season-ending injuries like ACLs. It's Holly McNamara's third ACL at just 20 years old. So young, so talented, so unlucky. So, I mean, look, what does that mean for us? It means obviously, you know, they're down arguably their best player, but they still have Hannah Wilkinson, you know, and who had a decent World Cup and who's, you know, slowly coming back into some goal scoring form. But, you know, we have obviously some very good attackers and very good defenders, so we should be able to hold City off for the most part. I think the last few years we've been pretty good against them, which is quite different to how it used to be. But yeah, I think overall, I think we should be fine. On paper, we should be fine.
Because they're undefeated at the moment too, City. And I apologize. Yeah. I said Rihanna Policina was missing. She wasn't. She just scored 0 fantasy points for my fantasy team. So I thought
missing.
Oh, no, she was missing in a different way. She went missing.
Right. So a bit of confidence there, Michelle, by the sounds of it, from you.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say, obviously, like you never know until the day, you know, we've got a different team coming up against this team that, you know, have mostly stuck together for, you know, the last season. So, but I think the way that we've been playing recently is quite positive. So I'm hoping, that it'll be positive, but also I don't want to be negative. So
No. Let's be positive.
Aussie vibes only.
Let's be positive. On Courtney, on Stargirl, Courtney Vine, she did that injury over a month ago now. Was the initial diagnosis sort of 4 to 6 weeks? Because obviously she didn't go to the to Uzbekistan as a precaution. She's then missed last week's trip to Adelaide. So, and has you know, unavailable for this weekend. So that's becoming a little bit worrisome. There was a suggestion that she's actually done a different injury.
I don't know if she's done a different injury. I actually kind of forgot to ask Charlotte about that. I was going to ask her.
You just call her now. Just call her now.
Yeah. Just message Courtney. Hey, girl, what's wrong with your legs?
Yeah. When are you back? Australia needs to know, but mainly just us.
I think it was, I think Dr. Jules said that it'll be like 4 to 6 weeks or 6 to 8 weeks. So I guess we'll see. Hard to say, I guess. I guess it's one of those injuries where it could be a very long time, or, you know, it could be, you know, 2 seconds and she'll be back.
I think when you're a player like Court and you use that explosiveness and, you know, speed, I think it's probably important to get it right. If she's going to be, you know, pushing off
Yeah. Well, the other thing I was going to say is, like, she played so much in the last few months that it could also just be a bit of fatigue.
And yeah, that's definitely. I think Ante's just being very cautious. We're already down troops. He's confident in the squad and the depth, and you know, with Shay and Princess and 18 Keane coming off the bench. So I think he'll keep her another week. And, you know, even when she is ready, I think he might just hold her back another week just to be sure. You know, it's a long season.
Yeah.
So Charlotte, Lucy out at the moment.
So it's a big Sydney FC weekend with two home games. Nick, you're going to head out to Homebush Athletic Stadium? the coveted Homebush Athletic Stadium.
Oh, the one and only. Love to.
Love to, Sunday afternoon.
If you don't, I'm going to call you out on Twitter.
If I don't.
Michelle, you'll be there, of course.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Nick might lose his clout.
Photos and like, I'm really curious to know what it's going to look like.
Where are you going to be?
Yeah,
Jonathan, you're my best mate. Hello.
Come on. Oh, is it your birthday? Come celebrate your birthday. Come celebrate your birthday at the game. You didn't invite me anywhere. Go on.
28 on Sunday.
Oh,
28.
28 plus the 2000s.
Yeah. I did my homie last week. I know how Courtney feels. Fucking,
yeah, you guys, you know how she feels.
You guys are basically the same. Athletes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. Well, I'm missing the Sydney Derby, so I can't talk, but I will be there on Sunday for the girls. So looking forward to see how that ground stacks up. I do not have high expectations, so.
Neither do I. I think it's going to be terrible.
So, I reckon they're just going to park the trolley from today's Instagram reel and go, they're sky blue.
Hey, I think the running track's blue and the seats are blue, so there's something.
The Omo coal power, whatever.
There's something. Nice little segue, Sydney Derby this weekend. Are we going to
do a score prediction?
Oh, for the girls?
Yeah.
Sure.
Oof.
I'm going to say 2-1 to our ladies in blue, sky blue.
Nick.
Draw, 1-1.
I think we'll score two. I just don't know how many they'll score. Either zero or one. I think we'll win. I think I'm with Michelle.
Yeah, I hear that. Zero or one for them. But I do think two. I think two is our number. Yeah.
I'm feeling it. Yeah. Hopefully two wins for our senior teams on the weekend. See, I just created my own segue, Sean, so fuck you.
Yeah.
So the Sydney Derby men's on Saturday night at Allianz Stadium, the first one for season 23-24. Like I said in the intro, a few shots fired already from the Cove and the usual idiots trying to, you know, call them out for being who they are. I think I just saw the club put a post up that general admission and Cove had sold out. And Away Active has sold out. So it should be a very, very healthy crowd there on Saturday night. Nick, I'll come to you first. Everything that we've just talked about with Talle and the Ulfuk Talle army, this is a really, really important game, I guess, in the context of our season.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely a big test for whatever this new brand of football was designed to play under Ulfi. It's going to be very interesting to see how the way we look at it is that, I mean, a derby is, you don't really go into form, but at the moment we're coming off a huge win, hopefully a huge statement in our season. We've got nothing to lose. And at the moment, yeah, I guess Wanderers had a decent, okay start to the season, but I think we can go into this pretty confident, our heads held high. And I think if you asked me maybe a couple of weeks ago how we go in this game, I'd probably give you a different answer, but I think we can definitely snatch something from this derby and hopefully give the home crowd what they asked for, and that's a Sydney derby win for Sydney.
Hope so. Shawnee boy, you love a Sydney derby.
Love a derby.
How do you think Talley attacks this game? Does he attack? He's got to, doesn't he?
I think he wants to be big, bold, and iconic. I think we saw the kind of the blueprints of that with Adelaide. So I think confidence will be high. Listening to him this afternoon, you know, they were trying to say like, oh, you know, are you going to get angry and, you know, up in the face of Rudan? And, you know, like we saw last season with him and Corica, and, you know, Talley was very, you know, just going to just play our own game, you know, we'll be measured, do our own thing. So I'm confident the boys can get a result. I think it's a huge game for Talley. I think having the week off in between has been like a nice kind of blessing in disguise. Time for him. It's like a little pre-season for him. And I think the crowd, the fans will expect a win, A, because it's a derby, and B, I don't think we'll have that attitude of, oh, you know, he's a new coach, let's give him a few weeks, let's give him to the end of the year or the start of the new year to, you know, find his feet and whatnot. After the last couple of average seasons that we've had, he's got plenty of A-League experience behind him. We've had a shitty start to the season. We've seen what we can do through the Cup and last week's, you know, Adelaide game. I think nothing less than a win is going to be expected. Because if we lose, I think draw would be admirable. Like, I think that'd be okay. And somewhat
It won't be bang for blood if it's a draw.
Yeah. But, you don't want to be 1-4 to start the season, even though we've got a new coach. I think regardless, that doesn't look good. We've got to get a win.
Wanderers are 1-4 undefeated sides, 2 wins, 2 draws. So it's not like, you know, they've been
on fire either.
Yeah. So they've been going okay. They've got obviously classic scum. They have a brand new squad every year. I think their record games player is 120 games or something, which is ridiculous. Nick, my griddle buddy, you know, do you know who I'm talking about? Wanderers get record games holder.
Record games holder.
Yeah.
Don't really care about the club, but
Panenka, Perth Glory.
Sandy.
Hello.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure anyway. Like I said, they are currently undefeated, 9 goals scored, 2 against, which, you know, let's ruin that record. Let's ruin that record. We just did it to Adelaide. Adelaide were undefeated when we came up to them. I think they conceded 1. They've now conceded 6. So, Mish, what better way to carry on what we've started there than a home derby win?
I mean, ideally, like, I don't think...
It's easily said, right?
You know, you never want to lose this game. You know, I think you could take losing against Adelaide, but, like, you don't want to lose against the Westies. So, you know, I think in an ideal world, yeah, we do win, but whether or not we do is hard to say. It's... I kind of disagree, though. I think if we don't win, it's not the end of the world because people are like, oh, he's just come in. Like, this is his second game with this team. So it's like there is a bit of slack. In my opinion, you can give a bit of slack because this is the second game that he will be coaching this team.
Except it's a derby.
But it's a derby, absolutely. But
as long as we're
that's not his fault. He didn't choose the fixtures and he didn't come in early enough to kind of, you know, I guess work with the team for long enough to be able to, you know, prepare for a derby. But obviously he's had, you know, this week off so to prepare. So, I mean.
I think he'll be pumped. I honestly think he'll have him pumped up.
I think the biggest thing is making sure that Brandon Borrello doesn't have any sort of chance to shoot and to try and get a goal because he is what encompasses like Western Sydney. And so the fans really, really have a lot of respect for him and they obviously love him. And so because he's in such good form, he's in the Socceroos now, like the second that he gets the ball, he's going to try and get a goal. And so if, you know, we can kind of neutralize him, then we should be,
Did he get any minutes last night, Nick, against Palestine?
I actually don't know. I've seen nothing of that game except for the goal. I was not up for
best,
that, but
Best case scenario, he's back tonight, I think, which is Wednesday night as we day stamp.
But I kind of agree, though, because I think we saw in the derby that we won at Parramatta of how revved up and also how pissed off Barella was at the end of the game. So he's definitely someone who thrives on not only, like, of how, because he's a good player, let's be honest. Yeah. Like, not only with the crowd behind him, and when he's informed, that he's really informed. So when a team finds out his weaknesses and finds out how to control him, and then you can pickpocket him and get him out of the game.
Yeah.
So I think if Sydney can give something that can, in a lack of a better sense, piss him off and get him off his game, then I think Wanderers' attack aren't too as menacing as we might think. I think they're still working on
combinations.
Yeah, he's a very key player for them, and he's a very key part of their attack. So you stop him, you don't really know what to expect from him.
He came off the bench last night. I just had a quick look. So, he got some football. But, yeah, look, best case scenario, like I said, getting back from Kuwait, I would dare say they're not back until tonight at best. You know, it could be a little jet lag there for him. But, you know, look, I guess Wanderers have looked pretty good. They obviously put in a bit of a stellar performance like ours against Western United, but Western United haven't started the season very well at all. So it'll be an interesting matchup. I think Ufi... the break, probably, Michelle, like you said, it might have come at a good time, both for preparation but also to put the Adelaide game behind them, so they can't be sort of like, oh, we're so mad now, like, you know, how good are we. I think it's allowed that time to focus on implementing a few more things that he wants to do, but also, you know, make them focus on how important this game is, and how important every game is. I really think Ufi's going to be one of those managers where, a bit like Arnie, you know, every game's important. Like, it doesn't matter that it's a derby, that every game we have to be up for, and we have to be going for it. I just get that feeling from him. So, yeah, really looking forward to the clash. If they could get, not London Calling, the game that's actually happening, if they could get 30,000, that'd be... I guess that's probably minimum that you'd hope for at a Sydney derby at Allianz these days. But it sounds like they're gonna achieve that. I think the weather's meant to be pretty shithouse, Sean. Weatherman, Sean.
Let me check.
Might be all right.
Leaving at the moment.
But yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it. Good anticipation for this one. Again, Talay Rudan, former teammates at Sydney FC. Which is probably not a storyline we've seen too much of mentioned in the last week, which I'm surprised. But yeah, keen. Do we see Ryan Grant come back in after Bub? Let's talk starting lineup, Sean. That's another one of your favorite topics.
Love it. Love a starting lineup. I love an 11. Look, I think we will, my head saying. My heart's saying that Grant will start, because that's just
the spot. And I think he should for the derby.
Yeah. Yeah. But look, I think that little bit of a transition plan needs to be put in place for De Jesus now, or Keeley if he gets in, you know, if he gets signed in January or something like that. All respect to Ryan, he's been an incredible servant of the club, but I think it's time to kind of pass the
move, baton. Move to goalkeeper?
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
again, played every other position.
Yeah, but and across the other back, I think Joel, you know, goes there. And what a bit of an unsung hero over the first four rounds has been Gabriel. I know he probably hasn't got the limelight at all, because we lost the first three rounds so significantly. So of course you're not really going to be patting a centre back on the back. But I think he's been really good at centre back, and unfortunately hasn't got quite the, you know, credit and attention that he deserves. So he's been really classy. And Jakey Gerwood-Reich, he's been mad at centre back.
I feel like he's found his home.
He's got that mongrel in him. Like, you need a centre back with a bit of a cunt in him. You know, the mongrel.
Yeah, just, swear, Josh. Sean.
You know, Johnny. You know, he's a bit like our James Brock. You know what I'm saying? You know,
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Good guy. I miss that guy.
He'd kill someone.
I think he might.
I think it's water. Can you see if he came across the water?
Could be a bit of an inside Strathfield all age joke there. So I think Buster comes in. I think he has to. I mean, you look at those images from the final, celebrations that we won. I just, and also as you guys were saying with Borrello, I think having that experienced head there will certainly be needed. No sign of Jack Rodwell still. Max Burgess is definitely out. Mate, I think the less said the better with that one. So you'd imagine Jake Odorright, Gabriel and Joel King in the back line again. The probably a little bit, again, unsung in that Adelaide game were Caceres and Bratton. I thought they found their feet, thought they were very good, and allowed, again, allowed a bit of the structure, I think, that Uffie's trying to implement. I think Brat said in an interview that it was easy for him. They just kept putting the balls over the top of him and Cass, and he just had to chase. So, but really excited to see. And
Do we see JK starting?
I think he has to.
Yeah,
he has to. If
you can't score two goals and not start,
and an assist, the maturity that he showed in that performance was outstanding. I think we said he had 23 appearances off the bench before that start, and look what he's done. He's got magic in his feet, as we've said on here for the last couple of years. So I think apart from Buster coming in, Zach will go back to the bench, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see Zach come on in the 65th, 70th minute to relieve Ryan and put some energy back into the right flank.
Same with Maxi. I can like him coming off the bench as a bit of an impact player if we're needing something to get a goal or just to close out the game for a little bit of X factor. I can see. Otherwise, if he were to start, I haven't been overly impressed with Mac over the first few rounds. Across the Australia Cup campaign either. So, maybe Maxi's starting at up front with
Max. Max will still be out. Max Burgess will still be out this week. So Burgess' catchphrase is still out with that groin injury. So, and I don't think they heal quickly. So it'll be interesting to see. So good stuff. Score predictions.
I'm going to say 1-0 to us.
Ooh, clean sheet. That'd be nice.
I think I'm a little bit, might regret saying this, but I'm going to say 3-0. Mm.
Oh,
3-0
to the Wanderers, you asshole.
I'll be giving 3-0. I'm just going to put it out. 3-0.
You're pumped.
Yeah.
Michelle, call him out on Twitter.
No, I'm calling him out when he
destroys his clout.
The game. I want to see a photo of you at the women's game.
He might be working, poor bastard.
It's not an excuse, clearly.
No.
Not an excuse because I went to Adelaide on my day off.
You're the only real fan, Michelle. How do you see this one playing out, Mish?
I'm going to say nil or draw.
Ooh.
Ouch.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Exciting nil or draw, or like
I think it's gonna
scared and like
a little bit scared, but yeah. I think
scared of losing the game.
I think defensively we might it'll be a very defensive game from either end, I think.
Okay.
No one wants either team to score a goal. I think they'll be trying to, but I think they'll both hold on defensively.
Oof. I'm going for a goal each 1-1. 1-1. I liked Redis's work against Adelaide. He came up big a couple of times again. So, I think with us scoring five, I just think there's enough confidence there for us to at least get one past the Wanderers, and yeah, I do feel like with the atmosphere and the occasion that you know, they might get one as well. So I'll go for a 1-1, hopeful of a 2-1 with a 95th minute Jaden Kucharski winner from 30 yards. But, you know, we don't always get what we want. Very, very good. And let's hope that everyone in the stands behaves themselves and just creates a fantastic atmosphere for the...
You're asking too much.
Probably am. I said in the stands. If people want to do it outside, then I guess that's, you know, just make sure there's no cameras. But I think that's almost does it. We've got to get back to who's that Sydney FC player, though.
Has Michelle been tested yet?
No, but she will tonight.
Tonight?
She will tonight.
Am I? I was not aware of this.
Hey, you got to keep people on their toes. Got to keep people on their toes. So yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's a tough one. It's a tough one, Michelle.
Is it actually?
Yeah, it's tough. It is a A-League women's player.
Okay.
So I've gone to your strength. You're very strong on both sides, but I'll say your niche category.
Okay.
So as a reminder how this works, we will read out team for team, former or current Sydney FC player, and our wonderful Sky Blue Stories host has to decide who that is. Now, so people at home can play along and don't get ruined like I did when Nick tested me. Michelle, when you think you have it, can you put the answer in the chat?
Okay.
And I'll tell you whether you are right or not, and then I'll keep going for the listeners. All right. Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
At 9:30 PM on a Wednesday night. Yeah. All right. First team. First team listed in their senior career is Marconi Stallions.
Oh, Jesus.
National Second Division entrance. There you go. Nick Rojas's local team.
Okay. Okay.
Marconi Stallions. Any guesses?
No.
No? Okay. This will help potentially age the player. New South Wales Sapphires.
Okay.
Okay, so that might have eliminated a few. Next team, Queensland Sting.
Okay, interesting name.
Yes, there were a few interesting names. Back to the New South Wales Sapphires after that for a couple of seasons.
So we're in the NSL.
That, yes, NSL Women's, if that's, yeah.
Because they had different team names.
Yeah. Oh, now I have to make sure I pronounce this correctly.
Here we go.
Adirondack Lynx. Adirondack Lynx. An American team.
Okay. I figured it was American because it was Lynx. Adirondack
Lynx, yeah. L-Y-N-X.
Yep.
Yeah. Fortuna Horting. We've seen a few Matildas go over that way recently. Okay. You're getting closer? Getting closer?
No.
Okay. Next club, Sydney FC.
What year is this? Can I get a year?
I cannot reveal that. No. I've already given you one of the countries that the team was from. Sydney FC was that team. Have you narrowed it down to sort of five or six?
No.
Oh. Okay.
I'm trying to think of like older players.
Yeah.
Because it would have to be someone who is either like retired or just old.
Might have thrown you off earlier by mentioning one of the older players, but yes. Okay. Before a return to Sydney FC, they had a brief stint at Chicago Red Stars.
Okay. That's where Sam Kerr played.
We're talking a bit of a trailblazer here. Hope that doesn't help give it away. So Sydney FC, Chicago Red Stars, Sydney FC.
Mm-hmm.
Then over to LDB Malmö.
Sweden. Who are
now known as Rosengard, yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Before returning to Sydney FC
Jesus
once again.
Jesus Christ. Who is this? Why can't I think of anyone? I'm really thrown off
the chat.
You will... Yeah, Sean, if you've got it, yeah, yeah.
No, I know it's quite. Yeah, I know who it is.
Okay. Okay.
Wait, don't put back... it in the chat. I've got the chat open.
That's right. Back to Marconi Stallions and then finish their career, very unfortunately, at the Western Sydney Wanderers.
Okay. I'm going to take a guess in the chat.
Okay.
Actually, I don't think I've got it.
But... Well, no, now all the clubs are done, Michelle. You can blurt it out. So, listeners, if you've got it, well done.
Do I only have one guess?
You do.
Okay.
Well, you can tell us who you're tossing it up between if you've got two.
Okay, my first guess is I've only really got one guess.
Mm.
And that's Caitlin Cooper.
Ooh. That is a good guess.
No, that she retired at Western Sydney.
That is a good guess, but it's not the right guess.
But wrong. Shut up, Sean. You couldn't get Emily Sonnen.
He couldn't. He had to Google that while I reckon. I listened to that episode. Currently on the Football Australia board.
Heather Garriott.
Correct. Well done. Yay.
I was thinking Lydia Vandenberg.
Well done. Well done. I thought you were going to say Sarah Walsh.
No. Sarah Walsh is not on the board.
No. Heather Garriott.
Yeah, I got the email today. That's how I...
Very good. Very good.
Dang, she's going to roast me.
As I said, one of the absolute trailblazers for Australian women's football in terms of, you know, overseas careers and things as well. So, one of the top, I think, in the top three or four Matildas caps as well with 130 appearances for the Matildas. So, there you go. That was... Who's that Pokemon Sydney FC player?
Did you have Pokemon? No. You know what? I didn't enjoy that.
You didn't have fun?
No.
It was kind of a hard one, but...
It was a hard one. I was hoping that you'd go for someone like Courtney Vine.
Yeah. You were hoping I went for like an American or something because you could narrow it down then. Yes.
Yeah, it was in the main handful.
No one gets easy ones. I think poor Nick got a toughie too, I think, from memory.
I got a toughie.
Yeah, didn't you? You got a tough one.
I think Jules had a rough as well.
Did I do yours?
I got Hayden Fox from Jules, I think it was.
Oh.
And you picked out Chase Ross on the first go.
I ruined it for everyone. Fantastic. Any other general business from you lovely people before we wrap up?
Go to the women's game.
4 p.m. Sunday, is that right?
Yes.
Sure, got that right. 4 p.m. Sunday, men's game, 7:45. If you are not a member or haven't got a ticket, you better be very quick. And you'll probably end up in the top tier by the sounds of it at the men's game. The women's game, obviously your membership gets you in if you are a member. Otherwise, you will need to purchase a ticket. And the grandstand isn't huge, but I think it...
I don't know, it's decent.
There's some hills.
Yeah, there are hills. I think the grandstand will probably fill up, to be fair. It's probably slightly bigger than the one at Leichhardt Oval.
Yeah, probably about 5,000 in that grandstand.
Okay. Well, geez, it'd be fantastic if we filled that then. Otherwise, as we said, it's been a bit of a longer pod because it's been a couple of weeks since we got together and there's been a lot going on, both in Sydney FC but also Australian football world. So thanks for your company. Thank you, Nick, Michelle and Sean, as always. And we'll talk to everyone again next week.